Good evening. Thank you for attending. Thank you all for coming. We're here lichvod Yom Yerushalayim. To me, a very special day. Celebrated it in many different ways. I've never organized a lecture, but I actually had the pleasure of hearing Rabbi Gold several years ago in Lev HaTorah when they were back in our neighborhood. A very memorable experience. I wanted to share it with the community. Please. I wanted to also see if at the same time we could also help out Beis Tfilah a little bit. So the proceeds for tonight's event are going to Beis Tfilah. That includes the ticket costs as well as the raffle. I would like to recommend anyone who enjoys the painting, it's a very good value for a raffle ticket. And the money is going to Tzedakah, to Beis Tfilah, to a local Torah institution. So again, thank you all for coming, and I'm with great pleasure have the opportunity to welcome Rabbi Shalom Gold.
It was cold when I left Yerushalayim. It's a bit warmer in Ramat Beit Shemesh, so with your permission, I'm going to take off my jacket. Take down my tie. I have to get clothes. There's a story that has haunted me for over 30 years since I read it. And it continues to haunt me. The story is told by Abraham Rabinovich. He was a reporter for the Jerusalem Post. He still writes occasionally. And following the Six-Day War, he wrote The Battle for Jerusalem, describing Chof Chet Iyar, that great awesome day, the 28th day of the year. And he describes how in the early hours of the morning Israeli paratroopers broke into the city. I always imagined that day, and maybe even better that night, the angels in heaven were in a state of great tension. They know already that this is the day. They know that this is the day that Klal Yisrael is going to be given the great gift of them all. The gift of Yerushalayim. And then in the early hours of the morning, Israeli paratroopers make their way into the city, and they're fighting their way through the alleyways of the old city of Yerushalayim. By about 9:45, they are getting close to the Kotel, but they don't know where the Kotel is. They didn't even know where Har HaBayit is. Today you see the big plaza. It wasn't a plaza. There were many houses and streets and Gesalach and Simtaot. And these paratroopers are 19 years old, 20 years old. No Jew had been permitted into the city for 19 years. As they're making their way through the alleyways, they see in a doorway of a house a young man standing there, and he seems to be terrified. They approach him and they assure him that they mean no harm, they're not going to hurt him. All they want to know is how do they get to the Kotel and the Temple Mount. And he stands there shaking with fear, and he points the way, tells them how to go. And he remains standing there watching what's happening. And he watches Israeli paratroopers as they make their way to the Kotel. And then he sees them making their way up to Har HaBayit. He sees the Israeli flag going up on Har HaBayit. When the great news goes out, Har HaBayit Biyadenu, Har HaBayit Biyadenu. Rabinowitz writes, this young man was a New York-born Jew. His name was Mark David Schleifer. He had converted to Islam and was now Mahmoud Daoud Schleifer. He had married a Muslim girl and was living in the old city of Jerusalem, and he was working as a reporter. For years, you know, it was only a few months ago that for the first time I saw an article by Mahmoud Daoud Schleifer. He exists, he's real. The last sentence is the one that interests me. Rabinowitz writes, "What a strange witness to one of the greatest moments in Jewish history." Mahmoud Daoud Schleifer is watching this great moment. He doesn't have a clue what's happening. He doesn't have the means of understanding how significant and how important this is in world history and in Jewish history. The meaning of this great moment, he doesn't have a clue. What a strange witness to one of the greatest moments in Jewish history. What haunts me about Mark David Schleifer? During the course of the 30 years since I read that story, I discovered, much to my dismay, you don't have to be a Mark David Schleifer not to get it. You don't have to be a Mahmoud Daoud Schleifer not to see the greatest event in Jewish history. You can be a Shaina Yid. You can go to Daf Yomi every day. You can be a Talmud Chacham, you can be a Mishkel, you can be a Chashida, you can be a Rav, and not have a clue. I remember a fellow, big Talmud Chacham, once came to me that I should give a haskama for a sefer that he wrote. It was a very nice sefer. My mistake was that I went ahead and read the first page. You know, the author usually writes when he's completed. When he's completed, he writes something nice. You know, thanks to my wife and my father-in-law, for sure. Father-in-law, he's always very important. And then I see at the bottom the date. You always put the date. 28th of Iyar. So I came back to him with the sefer and I said, "You finished the sefer and wrote the introduction on the 28th of Iyar. You didn't write Yom Yerushalayim?" He looked at me. The big mechaber of the sefer didn't have a clue what he was talking about. Oh! You know what he is? He's a Mark David Schleifer. He don't get it. He's living in the most historic period in Jewish history, certainly in 2,000 years, and he doesn't get what's going on all around him. It's unbelievable. He most probably walks around on Yom Yerushalayim either not knowing, and if he does know, then he will shuffle around and wait until the day is over, chaparin, his tachnun, or who knows what. He doesn't have a clue. He's a Mark David Schleifer. I've met many of them. I wasn't thinking of telling this story, but I'm going to tell it. You know, it's all right. I'm not afraid of anybody anymore, except the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. My wife, you know. You hear me? Okay. 1968. I never told this story publicly. 1968. I was on the staff of Yeshivas Ner Yisrael in Toronto. I was not only the staff, I was zeichet to be the one that built the yeshiva. Yeshiva Rav Rudiman sent me in May of 1959, I was a bacher. And 3 months later, after a tremendous amount of, I opened the yeshiva. All right. It's not about me, we're talking about Yom Yerushalayim, so we won't give you the rest of the story. All that I accomplished in Toronto, aside from the yeshiva, was I met my wife there. And thank God all of the children were born in Toronto. All right. It's Chof Ches Iyar, 1968. 1 year later, 1 year later, and was sitting at the lunch table. Here it is, the whole staff. There was a, in the dining room, there was a whole staff table. The whole staff is there. And I said, listen, Chevra, I think we should get up now and dance with the whole yeshiva lechvod Yom Yerushalayim. They looked at me like some kind of apparition out of, who knows, where did this guy come from? This guy gave one excuse, the next one, another one. Fact is that they had never thought about it. Chances is they didn't even know much about it. This is 1 year later. And then one of them says, Sphira. And all of a sudden, along the table, yes, Sphira. Sphira. I knew that I was defeated. But there's a Rabbeinu Shel Olam in heaven. There's a God. And God saw exactly how I felt. To get nekama, holy nekama, for something like this, you usually have to wait one lifetime, a second lifetime. The next Gilgul, after these guys all said Svira, and I'm defeated, all of a sudden, I hear the Bachram in the dining room, 100, 150 Bachram. One of the fellas came in, he got engaged. So he's handing out cigarettes, kamosha, osu, as they did in those days when they didn't know how terrible it was. And I left the only one at the lunch table, not dancing, and they're all dancing. I sat there. They all came back, you know, the big heroes, sweating bullets. And they sit down. And I look at the table and I say one word. Svira. They were wiped out. So I got up and I decided I'm going to take the law into my own hands. I went over to a number of the senior students in the yeshiva and I told them, listen, after Mincha, started the Lumdei Chol part of the program. I said, as long as you dance, nobody is going to be marked absent. For an hour and a half, the whole yeshiva danced with Chol Hashem Yerushalayim. Those guys sitting at the table were lovely people, but they were MDSs. They were Mark David Schleifers, certified. 1 year. Only 1 year after the awesome Hatzalah of the Six-Day War. Now I'll get back to the second story that I wanted to tell you. Second story is one that came recently into my life, and I just like it, you know. Every time I say it, I dramatize it even more than I dramatized it the time before. But one of that, all the drama is true. Every bit of drama is going to be true. I live on Rehov Agassi in Harnof. Now when I get out of my house, I get into my car, I turn right, I come to the corner is Katzen Ellenbogen Street. Better listen carefully, you're going to have to know that name. Katzen Ellenbogen. Katzen Ellenbogen, I usually turn right. And then the end of the first block is Bet HaTfus. The end of the next block, just a little bit further, is Rehov Kamfei Yeshorim. Not much of a distance. It's really one block from the corner of Agassi and Katzen Ellenbogen. Anyway, I drive out one day. I didn't know that it was going to become such a fateful day. I drive out of my house and I come to the corner of Katzen Ellenbogen and Agassi. And I see an absolutely beautiful Jew standing there waiting for a hedge. That's where everybody stands. They stand at the corner of Agassi and Katzen Ellenbogen. I had stopped a long time taking hitchhikers. Why did I stop taking hitchhikers? Because it's always the same thing. You go through the same rigmarole. Lana tanoseya. So I tell him, what's your business? Ask me what. Where do you want to go? All right. Usually the answer is Merkaz Ha'ir. So I say, yeah, I'm going to Merkaz Ha'ir. I can take you right to King George. Kerala Yisrael. Gula! What's Merkaz Ha'ir? The scent of me is not the scent of them. So it always ends up the same. I'm never going where they're going. So I stopped picking up hitchhikers. But this Jew, I'm telling you, was beautiful. A beautiful Jew. Dressed behidur gadol. Long bekesh, beautiful black hat. Really? Beautiful Jew. I couldn't go further. I stopped. And then starts the negotiation, you know. No hitches goes without negotiation. He's not sure yet whether he wants to go to the first corner, which is Bet HaTfus, that he could have done in 2 minutes walking. It'll take 20 seconds to drive. Or he wants to go to the next one, which is Kafe and Sharm, that's about another 10 seconds. And here, Bet HaTfus, Kafe and Sharm, finally I see he makes a decision. Kafe and Sharm. So I tell him, I'm going to Kafe and Sharm. I was not ready for what happened after that. Hashgoche Pratish! Hashgoche Pratish! Now, I'm a nice guy, but sort of the Sutton got into me. And I turned to him and I said, Un Medinas Yisrael? What about the state of Israel? Silence. Why did I say it? The Lord knows. 5-10 seconds silence, and he turns to me and he says, Mistame biste gewert. You're most probably right. Now let's analyze the story. There was no doubt about it in his mind that it was by divine imperative that I got into my car at precisely that moment and arrived at the corner of Agassi and Katzenelnbogen. God sent me. And I was thrilled to be God's shliach, to pick this man up and give him a verschluckene ride that he could have done in two minutes walking. That was sure, that was certain that this was min hashamayim. God turned heaven and earth. Go! Go! Get him! But the Rebbein Shem turned literally heaven and earth to bring his people back to Eretz Yisrael after 2,000 years and give them Eretz Yisrael as a gift? Mistama. Most probably you're right. You know what he is? He's Mark David Schleifer. But you know what? On second thought I decided he was absolutely right. It was Hashgacha Pratis. The Rebbein Shem wanted me to go out of my house at precisely that moment to pick him up and to tell him those words. And Eretz Yisrael, Medinas Yisrael. That's what I wanted. Let this guy hear it. He'll most probably never forget it for the rest of his life. I certainly won't. That's for sure. This is too good a story. Causes me a tremendous amount of pain. The mitzvah upon us, our mitzvah is don't ever be anything that in any way approximates a Mark David Schleifer. We have to be fully aware of all the chassadim that the Rebbein Shem has done to our generation. And don't pay any attention to the guys who shuffle around on Yom HaTzmut like it's Tisha B'Av. In the fullness of one's sense of Hashgacha Pratis, you know what you do? You say Hallel. William Shankar Rebbein Shem. The Yisod of what I want to talk about over here is a Share Tshuva L'Rabbeinu Yonah. The Share Tshuva L'Rabbeinu Yonah. Shar Shlishi, number Yud Zayin. Vidahi says, Ki ha-ma'alot ha-elyonot, the most significant ideas and aspects of Torah find their expression in positive commands. He talks about the free will, imitato Dei v'halachta b'drochav, go in the ways of the Rebbe Yisrael. The mala of hidbonein begadlus Hashem, that we have to see the greatness of God. And then he says, umalo zichron chasodo v'hidbonein b'hem, to remember what God did for us, all the kindness that he did for us, and to ponder and meditate about it. Let it go into your kishkes. The Zacharta Kol HaDerech brings the pasuk in Devarim, the Zacharta, remember the whole road that you've traveled. V'yodato im levavecha. V'David Omar. V'yidbonenu chazdei Hashem. Perek kuf zayin in Tehillim. If you daven Sfarad, you say it before Mincha on Erev Shabbos. The Arbor, the four who have to thank God. Yidbonenu chazdei Hashem. You have to be midbonen, you have to think, you have to ponder, you have to meditate, you have to be aware of it. Every chesed that the Rebbe Yisrael did for you. And we happen to be a generation that have been the recipients of God's beneficence and his outpouring of kindness. Oh, it's unbelievable. With all of the tzaddas that we have over here, never lose sight of the fact that we were zeichet to the great gift. See, you know, I think there's a Zohar that says, even Sefer Torah Shebehechol, or Sefer Torah, needs mazel. Everything needs mazel. A Rashi needs mazel. A Rashi needs mazel. This is a Rashi, an unknown Rashi. I've always attempted to sort of bring that Rashi to the attention of the world. The Rashi at the end of Parshas Bo, V'hoyaki v'yachor Hashem, as God will bring you to the air, to the land, Hashem nishba l'avotecha, that he swore to your fathers, latet lecha, to give it to you, unetan alach, and he will give it to you. One of the Parshas of Tefillin. Rashi says, Eretz Yisrael should be in your eyes ki'ilu nidna l'cha bo b'yom, as though he gave it to you today. It should be in your eyes like a gift that he gave you, not like Yerusha Savos. Don't look at it as though it's some kind of an inheritance that you got from your fathers. It was given to you, to every Jew, every day. Everybody knows the Rashi, two Rashis really in Dvarim, where Rashi says, with regard to Torah, shehid be'enecho kechadoshim, every day it should be like it's new. But Rashi said it in Parshas Bo about Eretz Yisrael. It shall be in your eyes as though you got the gift today. V'yidbonenu chazdei Hashem, that we should think and ponder and meditate. So what are the chazdei Hashem that he did to us in the course of the last 100 years? It's unbelievable. We'll just go through it quickly. Let's go through it quickly. The idea that there's an abundance of food in this country. We export food to the rest of the world. That's the famous Gemara in Sanhedrin, where Rabbah says, "Ein l'chokets megulam izul." There's no greater revealed end of days than this. Va'atem horei Yisrael. All my students know exactly what to do at this point. Atem hore Yisrael, you mountains of Israel, says Cheskel, says Antochem titenu, give out your branches of ferichem tisu, and carry your fruit, lami Yisrael, for my people Israel, keep careful of all, because the time that they are returning is coming close. Eretz Yisrael maintained a covenant with the Jewish people for 1900 years. It didn't provide food for any people to really take root in this country. 100 years ago, the land started developing. That's Shefa Bracha, whether it's at Osher Ad or Yesh, whichever place you walk into, that's direct from the Rebbe Yisrael. It's a chesed of the Rebbe Yisrael. I remember these supermarkets, they come and go. You remember there was once Birkas Rachel? Most probably changed names, who knows how many times. Just like hotels in Yerushalayim, you know. You have to know what Gilgal you're in. Is it the Ramada, or is it the Renaissance, or is it next time Ramada around. Inbal, I forgot what the Inbal was. What was the Inbal? Laurent. Very good. You're all listening. It's very good. Okay. So here, we're in Birchas Rachel and some frumme, an American frumme, they're the worst. An American frumme from Harnof. Something had happened that day in the country that was... No, there are tzaras, so it was a tzara that day. So he yells across to me and says, "Have I come? You're still a Zionist?" So I told him, "What are you talking about? You're standing here in the fruit and vegetable section of Birchas Rachel, and you can talk like that? Be ashamed of the tomatoes. Be ashamed." That's when I had coined one of the great things for which I will be remembered into eternity, when I said that if you want to talk to the Rabbeinu Shalom, you go to the Kotel. If you want to see him, go to Shuk Machne Yehuda. There is Birchas Hashem, chesed of the Rabbeinu Shalom. Change the nature of this whole country, the earth. That's one. Kibbutz Golios. It's awesome what has happened here in the last 50, 60 years. It's unbelievable. It's awesome. All clearly stated in Tanakh. You have to know Tanakh for that. Clearly stated. I've told students in yeshiva time and time again, there's absolutely no need anymore to attempt to find proofs that Torah is true. The truth is staring you in the face. Everything that was said by the Nevi'im 2,000, 2,500 years ago, it's all true. We walk around it. By the way, it's more than all true. We're the truth of it. I don't have to look at anybody else. I look at me. At you, each one of you, we are all here. And that's exactly what the Nevi'im said. He was Goyos. And the gift of Eretz Yisrael, which expresses itself in Atzma'ut, was probably the next guy who's going to make fun of that word. I will sack him. Because there are certain kind of ugly jokes that destroy the ability for a person to think clearly. Doesn't. You know what? No, I better watch myself. You know. This is bass filler. Yeah, and Yemi Dobbins here. For Rashi says in Yeshayahu chapter 11, Pasuk 11. You'll ever bother to look at that Rashi, you'll see exactly what Rashi says. That the third time we return to Eretz Yisrael, it's going to be not under any other empire's auspices. The return to Eretz Yisrael, the times of Ezra and Nehemiah didn't count, it says, because we were under Paras and Yavan, Persia, Greek. But when we're going to come back for the third time, it's going to be like a person who is in his own land. Atzma'ut is a tremendous value. Value? Value. Editorial in the Jerusalem Post last week. By the way, in this country, when you read the news, you can see a lot of... What are the two great words? Hashgacha Pratis. Last week, editorial Jerusalem Post, addressed to the Jews of Austria and Hungary. Austria and Hungary are beginning to go anti-Semitic. The extreme right is rising. Elections in both places. Who knows what's going to be? And the Jerusalem Post simply says, "Come to Israel. Come to Israel. What are you doing there? Jews of France. What are you doing in France? Who knows what's going to be the result of the elections in England? And even without the elections, it's a look at a place we should have gotten out there a long time ago. They're anti-Semitic. It's what the British did to us. Come home to Israel. 65 years ago, when 6 million Jews were desperately clawing to get out of Europe to find a place where to go, there was no place. That's not a chesed. Atzmaut, independence. Didn't say. This is Matnas Hashem, the revelation giving us Eretz Yisrael. Is Bodenu Chazeh Hashem. I don't know how the revelation takes it. I'm going to say it, but don't say all these things. You don't have to go out into the street and say everything that I say, you know? We can keep, you know, we're a nice intimate group over here. I think we should be able to talk like friends. I can't for the life of me understand how anything as ridiculous and absurd as this has ever happened. If you don't thank the Rebbein Shlalom, you're a fool. And if you say Hallel and you thank the Rebbein Shlalom for all the chassadim, there's Ruchnik. Or worse. No, there isn't worse. That's the worst. How does this happen? How in heaven's name does this happen? We have a chiyuv of his bone and who has their Hashem to thank the Rebbein Shlalom. Blessed, I get up on a Yom Yerushalayim and a Yom Atzmaut and I say Hallel with tremendous, tremendous kavana. And then if you shuffle around during the course of the day, you know, looking sad like you lost your best friend, that's from. How did this happen? I can't for the life of me, you know? I don't understand how it happened. If I was talking of Rashi, I've put together a list of my favorite Rashis. One of them was just in last week's Sedra, the Chukosai. It's an unbelievable Rashi. In middle of the Tosafot, with all sorts of terrible, terrible, frightening and terrifying curses on all sides, there's one little pasuk tucked away over there in the folds of the Tosafot. If you wouldn't have Rashi, you know, we might have not noticed what it says. V'hashimoti ani et ha'aretz, I will make the land desolate. V'shomu aleh oyeveichem hayoshim po, and your enemies who live in the land are going to be desolate. Rashi says, Zu mida tova, this is a great measure for Klal Yisrael. This is an awesome bracha. Listen to the bracha. Shelo yimtzu ha'oyvim, then the enemy will never find contentment in the land. Shelo yimtzu ha'oyvim nachas ruach. Shetia Shomei, while the land is going to be desolate. I had once, for about 10 seconds, thought to myself, is it possible that after he wrote this, Rashi got up one night in a cold sweat and vey. Maybe someday a really industrious people are going to conquer Eretz Yisrael, the Japanese, and they're going to turn it into a Garden of Eden. Rashi says no. The enemy will never find any contentment in this country. It's going to be desolate. Believe me, Rashi never got up in a cold sweat in the middle of the night. Because Rashi knows ultimate truth is a pasuk in Torah. The pasuk says, V'shomamu oleho v'yivekem, your enemies are going to be desolate. That's exactly what's going to happen. Do you understand? For 1900 years, nobody was able to settle it. The Crusaders tried their best and they failed, and the Ottomans failed, and the Byzantines failed, and the Mamelukes failed, and the Romans, and the they all failed. So you know, 1900 years of Hashgacha Pratis, real Hashgacha Pratis. The only country in the world, nobody was able to settle it. Nobody was able to settle it. And Jews come to Eretz Yisrael, and the land begins to give out its fruit. It's an awesomeness. It's a pellet, it's not a nest. And we see it before our very eyes. Mommy, we see it before our very eyes. I don't need any proof that Moshe emes with Torah emes. You know, I have a vivid imagination, and in my vivid imagination, I once saw a vision. The fact is, it was 2 years ago I saw the vision. I'm standing by the Gesher HaMeitarim. What do you call it in English? You know the big bridge? The new bridge at the entrance to Yerushalayim? It's after sunset, as Yom Yerushalayim is about to begin. And I'm standing there on the street, not in the middle of the street, on the sidewalk. And you know, it's getting darker little by little, and the traffic is moving in all directions. Cloud, haze. I begin to see apparitions coming before me. One figure, a second figure, a third, a fourth, a group of beings that seem to be as though they've come from the other side, from elsewhere, and they're surrounding me on all sides. And we begin to introduce ourselves to one another. First one says, "My name is Moshe Ben Nachman. I came to this city in 1267. I came to Yerushalayim in 1267. You know how many people, how many Jews were living in this city? Two. And they only had received special permission. Two Jews lived in Yerushalayim. Their job was dyeing. They were dyers. They dyed things. Two Jews in Yerushalayim. And by the way, that was most probably two more than there had been for 300 years before that. The Romans had prohibited Jews from coming into the city all year except one day. Tisha B'Av, they let them come in and cry their eyes out. For hundreds of years, no Jews set foot over here. The Rambam comes, there are two Jews. Two Jews. The next figure says, I came from Italy. My name is Ovadia Mibar Tanura. So I tell Ovadia Mibar Tanura, do you know they finally put you into the Kahati Mishnayos? The Bar Tanura. He came in 1492. There were 200 Jews in the city. 200 Jews in Yerushalayim. The Shalot came in 1688. There may have been 1,000 Jews in the city. Rabbi Yehuda Chosid comes in 1700. A little more, by the way. Each one of them writes, Bar Tanura couldn't come into the city for 2 years because there was a plague in the city. So he waited in Akko until the plague passed. The Ramban had to leave soon after he arrived. The Shalom was thrown out of the city by the local Arab rulers. They were Ghoidahim al Kharma. Fast forward, 1955, gold comes to Yerushalayim. There are 146,000 Jews in the city. 146,000. You understand what's happening over here? We haven't yet gotten to today where there are 500,000 Jews. This is awesome miracles taking place. But I want to tell you about the city in 1955. There was a big, ugly wall that cut the city in half. Barbed wire across half of the city. Couldn't go to the Kotel. Everybody would have a place if you go on top of that house. And you look that way, and you go down, that's where the Kotel is. It was a little town. And there were Jordanian soldiers all along. And I remember one day, it was a day on which the Yeshiva Bachum of Yerushalayim was sent out to dig trenches. A week they closed the yeshivas in Yerushalayim to dig trenches because they were expecting war, and it came later that year in 56. And yes, they opened up fire, and a wonderful, wonderful young man was killed. It was a pachad to live in the city then. At least then, there was an ugly equation. An equation, but ugly. There were two cities in the world that were divided with a knife through the heart of the city in the middle. Yerushalayim and Lehavdil Elef Alfei Alafim Havdalos, Berlin. In 1967, Six-Day War, the ugly equation ended. There was only one city with a wall through it. Yerushalayim was united. Do we want Chas V'Shalom Zal De'Eibishter upheaven? A terrible thought, I can even say it, that Yerushalayim should be divided again. It was so ugly, it was so terrible. It was so terrible. My figures are standing there. The Ramban, Rabbi Avraham Mipar Tenura, the Shalah, Rabbi Yehuda Chazid, Gold, and then there's another figure that begins to approach. There's a brilliance about it. This is a Kadosh Elyon who's coming. And we ask him, Fumvanet Kintayid, where does a Jew come from? Who are you? He says, my name is Akiva Ben Yosef. You felt a tremor going through all of those figures were there. And he asks the question, and he asks me, are the Romans still here? Who's in this city? Who are all these people? What are all these things going through the street? Who is it? I said, no. Rabbi Akiva, the Romans are no more. Egypt enslaved thee, Babylon crushed thee, Rome led thee captive, homeless thy head. Where are those nations mighty and fearsome? Thou hast survived them. They are all dead. Nations keep coming, nations keep going, passing like shadows, wiped off the earth. Thou, Israel, an eternal witness remainest, bearing the message, God is but one. They were very impressed. And I know you are too. Okay? So I told Rabbi Akiva what I did. There was a year when everybody, we were up in the Galil. And like Burma, everybody goes to Miron. We were half an hour from Miron. I didn't go to Miron. I went to Tveria. And what did I do in Tveria? I decided to go to the Kever of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was Rabbi Shimon Yochai's Rebbe. Ich ging zu der Rebbe. And you know what I did? You think I went there to say Tillam? I did not say Tillam. You think I went there to daven? No, I did not daven. But I was having a problem. Because I had to find what I wanted. You know what I did? I'm looking. There are Tillams. And there are... Don't laugh. Hashgacha Pratis. There was a Tanakh there. I stood there and I opened up the Tanakh to Perek's Ches in Zechariah, and I read the whole perek, and I told Rabbi Akiva, all Yeshu Zakenos, the elderly are going to sit in the streets of Yerushalayim, Ish Mishanto Biyato Merov Yamim Yeladim V'Yeladot Nesachakim B'Rechovoteha, at the end of Mesechta Makkos, the very end of the Mesechta. What was it that Rabbi Akiva told Chachmei Yisrael, who were crying when they saw facts coming out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim? Said, nah, don't worry, there's going to come a time that the streets of Yerushalayim are going to be full with the elderly and with children. And I stood there by the cave and I said, if I'd have a can of spray paint, I would spray the country with Rabbi Akiva Tzadok. Rabbi Akiva Tzadok. You were right. You were right, Rabbi Akiva. You were right. Absolutely right. Rabbi Akiva can stand there by Churban and he can see the fulfillment of the prophecy of Zechariah. We see the prophecy in the skin. Do we see it? Do we get excited going through the streets of Yerushalayim? All the bratty kids fulfilling the prophecy. It's beautiful. Mark David Schleifers don't see a thing. I once made the mistake of telling my wife when we were caught in traffic and everybody is honking. I said, no, I'm not going to honk because I think about David HaMelech. David HaMelech would see hundreds of thousands of Jews in the streets of Yerushalayim. Rabbi Akiva would see it. It'd be unbelievable. I don't honk. And every so often she sees when my hand is going, you know, I'm getting ready to do the real Jewish Israeli thing, and she stays my hand. No. That was my vision. We have to be able to see what took place in this city and in this country. We are overwhelmed with God's chesed. We are overwhelmed with his chesed. So we should say Hallel and cry out with great thanks. So I had a problem with Hallel. My problem with Hallel is that there are two psukim there that are so diametrically opposed to one another. They describe two different experiences. Zehayom osa Hashem nogilo v'nismuchapo. That is being said by somebody who's overjoyed, happy. Great things have happened. And wait a minute, the next second, oh no, Hashem Hashiyana, bring the Yeshua. Completely different mode, completely different mood. We moved into a pain, fear, helplessness, a sense of man lost. No one can save him except the Bein Shlilim, and he cries out on Hashem Hoshiyana. How do these two psukim exist side by side? First of all, because that's the Jewish condition. Until ultimate Geula, we will have moments of great joy, but there's always going to be the fear of what's going to happen next. Nothing is perfect. We have our people here who want that. If it's not a perfect Atzmaut, and everybody in Eretz Yisrael is ashamed of Torah mitzvahs and doesn't eat at the mechira, then they're going to say Hallel. That's not life. That's not the way it works. The Hallel that David HaMelech wrote was a Hallel that takes into the consideration the fact that life is always tenuous, there's always something to be frightened of, and that we thank the Rebbeinu Shem for what he does for us, and then in the same breath we look up to him and we say, Ona Hashem Hoshiyana. I get a feeling sometimes that we may have put too much stress on the Yom Yerushalayim and have lost sight of the fact that 3 million Jews were saved in the Six-Day War. You fellas are young. The experience of May 1967, whoever did not experience May 1967, the month during which the noose was being tightened around this little Eretz Yisrael. Nasser Yimach Shemo is screaming before hundreds of thousands of Egyptians. 100,000 troops move into the Sinai. UN is removed. He cuts off the Straits of Tehran. Jordan joins with Egypt. Syria gets on board. There was a sense of pachad that this Eretz Yisrael's chas v'sholem going to be destroyed. That's how we live. Of course, I was in Toronto at the time. There were tefillah, people were raising money. Oh, I hope I'll be able to tell the story. I always get so choked up. There's in the papers in Toronto. A Jew comes into his bank, goes to his bank manager. He wants a loan. Find some of money. Bank manager asks him, what do you want it for? He says, I want to give to Israel. You know, they're in terrible grave danger. I want to give to Israel. Bank manager says, we don't give loans for that. You know, if you want to buy a house, you know, you want to fix some things up in the house. So he turns to me and says, I want a loan for home improvement. And the bank manager gave him the loan. It was a Klal Yisrael throughout the world. We sensed the fear and the trepidation. And then, when the Yeshua came, we couldn't believe it. We were walking around in a daze. You have to know the pachad in order to understand the greatness of the miracle. The Hatzalah of 3 million Jews. I remember then it was a few weeks afterwards, there was an Aguda convention in the United States, and Chavitcher Meir Levin, who was a member of Knesset, came to the Israel was the talk of the whole world. So somebody said that there was a big Rebbe has made it clear that all the victories in the Six Day War, it's all the Satan, the Sitra Achra. My father, Olav Hashalom, was the big Zionist in Williamsburg. I was born in Williamsburg. Williamsburg? You know what Williamsburg is? Williamsburg, Brooklyn, Williamsburg. I was born in Williamsburg. My father was known as the resident Zionist in Williamsburg. But it means, of course, that whatever I am, I come by it very, very honestly. It's in the genes. So remember, the Satmar boys used to start up with my father. Because he'd have the nerve to walk around Williamsburg with a blue and white pushka raising money for and they gave it. They were afraid of it. So I remember some Satmar guy started yelling, "Oh, the Sultan!" He said, my father says, I never knew a Zagita Sultan. What a good Sultan. So at the Aguda convention, somebody got up and gave this Satan bit, you understand? So Rabbi Meir Levin got up, one of his greatest Satans, he says, 6 million of my ois gehaget is gewein Ritzon Hashem. Und as mizmatzel 3 million jeden is this the Sultan, 6 million Jews I killed, so you call that retort, it was God's will. And if 3 million Jews are saved, that's the Satan, that can't be God's will. There was a tremendous Hatzalah of Klal Yisrael during the Six Day War. And the added tremendous gift was the gift of Yerushalayim. Our focus has got to be on this was a Hatzalah Mimavis L'Chayim. We all thought that this is it. This is it. I have one final comment. And I've thought about this a great deal. Those two psukim in Hallel, Zeh Hayom Osa Hashem Nogilo V'Nis V'Chavo, and immediately afterwards, Ono Hashem Oshiyona, I believe the only person who has the right to stand up before the Rebbein Israel and say Ono Hashem Hoshiyana is the person who can say in the fullness of his Yiddishkeit Zeh Hayom Osa Hashem Nogilo V'Nis V'Chavo. If you don't thank me for what I did for you, don't come bother me to save you. If you've gotten up there and you said Rebbein Israel, you did great things for us, we need you again. If you said Zeh Hayom, you can say Ono Hashem Hoshiyana. You haven't said Zahayom, don't bother me. I think that's the essential message of those psukim. we have a great deal to pray for. The period in which we are living right now, I call it May 1967. We're living in May 1967. We are under threat of total destruction by Iran. 40,000 missiles, Hezbollah in the north. We don't know how many missiles Hamas has. Syria has chemical weapons. A friend? We thought we had a friend. We don't have that friend either. You know what it is? What's happening right now is the noose is tightening around Eretz Yisrael. And we have to be able to say, Ona Hashem Oshiona, you're the only one we have left in this whole universe. But we can't do that if we can't say thank you for all the nisim and nifloyis and stop walking around with your nose in the ground over there like, it's not firm enough, it's not this enough, that's not good enough. Thank the Rebbeinu Shem for what he's given. And Yitzhak Hashem, on Wednesday, I'm going to say the Kavona Gedola, Sehayom Oso Hashem, Nogilo Benismo Chabo. And then I'm going to say an Ona Hashem Hoshiana. Oh, am I going to say an Ona Hashem Hoshiana? I keep telling my wife, there are great things going to happen. Great things are going to happen. The Rebbeinu Shem is going to pull great stuff, because there's nobody else in this world that's going to help us. And I just can't wait. I want to see it. I want to see it now. I want to see how he's going to take all of these serious soil and just obliterate them. It's going to happen. I'm telling you, it's going to happen. So we're going to say, Zeh Hayom Osa Hashem Nogilo V'Nisva Chobo. That's going to give us license to say Ona Hashem Hoshiona with great kavana. Rabotai, Chag Sameach.